keep in mind, it's a miracle. Like, you're downloading something. Where the hell
where
are you downloading?
Where is it coming from? The cloud? What's the cloud?
It's coming from the cloud, which is like a Quonset hut in New Jersey, I think.
I think the cloud's always there.
Right.
Where do we start this? And the answer doesn't matter. We're having a good time. Right.
He couldn't wait to get in here.
You need sales balls to make sales calls. Sure. I'm tweeting that puppy. Okay.
And you guys are up.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to this episode, this adventure of podcast called Sell or Die. My name is Jeffrey Gittimer. You probably know me as the author of The Little Red Book of Selling. And I'm joined by my partner,
Jen Gluckow, founder and CEO of Sales in a New York Minute.
And we are here today to help you sell more, earn more, do better, have a better time.
And laugh. We want to make you laugh.
Exactly. We're here to have some fun. We have a couple of sponsors. We drink Death Wish Coffee. We play on Owler all the time. So I want you to make sure you play with them. I'm also romancingnimble.com as a potential CRM program, so you might want to just give it a look. Give it a look-see, play around.
I've used it in the past, and I am a big fan of Nimble.
Cool. I'm actually, I have a call with them later on today.
Yeah, you do, Jeffrey. Yep.
But here's the bottom line. We're talking today to Peter Getchell about online learning, but before we get to Peter, I want to talk about what your co-promotion is. And I had to be taught what co-promotion was because I didn't understand that you could get other people to do stuff for you. So I'm going to ask Jen to talk about her adventures and her strategy for co-promoting her brand and how it launched. Jenny.
So co-promotion was, besides networking, the single biggest thing that helped me grow my business in the beginning. You know, I had very few followers. Like, I had my grandma who followed me and you.
And both your friends.
Right. And maybe five of my friends. And the way I really built my following was I had you on my YouTube channel and people wanted to see
that's true.
We had a whole conversation and
that's
interview.
Very true.
And then I met Jeb Blunt and he was very kind to include me on some of his emails and some of his videos and we did a few videos together. And so there's other people that I co-promoted with, but the bottom line is I created a landing page where I offered a free ebook. Mm-hmm. I did these co-promotions where your audiences were introduced to me and then I had them come download my ebook. And the key to this was they got value, right? They got value for free.
No, the key is she got thousands of followers as a result of her co-promotion.
I would say in a couple of months, I had about 5,000 followers from co-promotion, from zero or five or so to 5,000.
That's huge.
Yeah.
So what you need to do really is think of the people who you know who have a following or who have some kind of fame in your subject matter expertise and call them or talk to them or email them or LinkedIn them or do something that says, hey, I'd like you to come on my show or hey, can I be on your show and talk about XXX. And if that has value to them, they will say okay.
So I was really lucky because I knew you and you introduced me to Jeb. Mm-hmm. So I didn't have to call cold email or cold call a bunch of people. Mm-hmm.
But when you got there, you were valuable.
Right. But what a lot of people do if they don't know anybody is they actually email, and you've gotten these emails, and now I'm starting to get them too, which is pretty cool. But they'll say, I wrote this roundup of the top 10 experts and what they think on overcoming obstacles. Mm-hmm. And they mention 10 people in the article. Mm-hmm. Well, now all of a sudden you're reposting their stuff because you're like, oh, they mentioned me, you know?
Oh, I see.
And so that's called ego bait. There's an actual marketing term in this industry that I've found through
ego bait.
Yeah, ego bait.
Yeah. I call it violating my copyright law, but we have different thoughts on it.
So what is the formal definition of ego bait?
You know, I'll have to Google it, but basically
they're trying to bait you by using your ego.
Okay.
Hello.
That's good.
There you go. That's the now formal definition.
Right.
And so it's pretty cool because it actually works. And if you may not know someone, but if they keep writing about you and posting your stuff, there's a guy on LinkedIn who keeps actually posting the two of us. I think his name is Paul or Ryan.
Yeah.
I'm not really sure. But I'm going to reach out to him because he keeps posting me for the past few weeks. And I'm like, who? This is amazing. You know? And now all of a sudden I want to learn about him and I want to post him because I feel like I owe him. I want to give back.
Jeb Blunt and I are having a co-posting love affair. We're LinkedIning each other. We're Instagramming.
You're like co-bros
now?
Yeah,
we're co-bros. Yeah, exactly.
That's going to be the hashtag for this episode. Hashtag co-bros.
But he's a great guy. He's a family guy. He's a smart guy. He actually writes his own books. So I have a lot in common with him, and so do you. And, you know, he's been to our home. I have a lot of respect for what he does. And when he promotes me, I got to promote him back. I have no choice.
Why don't you promote him first?
I'm going to try. I'm going to promote the living crap out of him next week and make him come to his knees.
If you don't know who Jeb Blunt is and you're in sales, you're probably like living under a rock.
Yeah,
go find him.
He owns Sales Gravy.
And it's not Blunt like you're being blunt.
Right,
it's Blunt, B-L-O-U-N-T.
Right. You know, Sales EQ is his new book and it's really good. Fanatical Prospecting is his last book and it's really good. I think that he's the next comer besides you, Jenny.
I think he's there.
Oh.
But let's talk about co-promotion, okay, Jeffrey?
Okay. But, I mean, that's the kind of guy you want to co-promote with.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So a lot of people think that they have no one to co-promote with because everyone in their industry who's doing what they're doing is their competitor.
Not true.
So, okay, I agree with you, but what would you tell those people?
Go to your competitors and ask them to join up. I think there's you'd be surprised. There's some people that are not quite competitors that you can still play with. You know, there's people who talk on leadership. I talk on sales. They'll play with me.
Mm-hmm.
And even now, Jeb and I are going to be doing a group together with you, Jen.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to be, there's three or four of us who do the same thing. And we're going to promote each other. And we're going to mail for each other. And I think there's a lot to be said for that. I think if we don't need every nickel, that you're more than happy to share some of the nickels with somebody else to be able to make you appear better, get more followers, you know, book another gig.
Well, the whole point of co-promotion is that you're all getting nickels now. You're all getting more nickels, and those nickels are expanding.
Yep.
Because of your social circle. So this is pretty cool. I think that if you're hesitant to go ask your competitor to co-promote with you, which I think is silly.
It doesn't have to be a competitor. It can be somebody who almost competes with you.
Yep. Well, why not ask your best customer? Okay, you can co-promote with customers too. It doesn't,
sure.
You know, if the CEO of, I'm just going to make up a company, of Google, okay, wants to...
Make up a company. That's a good name. It's catchy.
No, but if the CEO... I
wonder if it's taken.
They're not yet a customer, but let's say they were, Jeffrey, okay? So if the CEO of Google wanted to get interviewed on our show...
He could call us and beg. And we would accept them.
Yeah. But then we would promote the hell out of it. And he would too.
Everybody's doing the co-promotion. Come on, baby. Do the co-promotion. Anyway, I think you get the idea. And
the peanut gallery is laughing.
Yeah, oh, yeah. But it works. We have done it. It works. Now let's get to Peter.
Okay, so Peter Getchell is a business development executive from KnowledgeLink.
Yeah,
and he is incredible.
He's a business executive. He's one of the owners of the company.
Is he?
I think he is. Yeah.
I don't know.
You know what?
He acts in the best interest of the company as if he's an owner.
I don't know
if he is an owner, but he acts as one. So that's all that matters. If you're a salesperson and you act like an owner, you're doing right.
He's a hell of a great guy and a smart guy. He understands the value of online learning. And we have now switched our whole entire learning platform over to... I'm not allowed to say that.
It's okay. It's okay. We actually talk about it on the show that we switched to them.
This is the co-promotion show. That's the only reason we're doing
it.
I'll tell you later. I'm not telling you anything.
He is a really great guy. He's a stand-up guy. And a lot of people don't know what KnowledgeLink is. They've never heard of it.
They don't know the power of online learning. That's the whole deal. And this guy understands the power of online learning. He's been doing it more than a decade.
Mm-hmm.
Before we get to that, I have to tell you about a new service that we're using, StrasburgerSteaks.com. It's revolutionizing the way people across the country are eating meat.
Did you know that you can get steakhouse quality prime meat delivered to your doorstep? No trip to the store necessary. I'm talking tender and delicious New York strip steak, mouth-watering rib steak, porterhouse, veal chops, and their famous bone-in filet. I'm hungry.
Strasburger Meats are in the kitchen of some of New York's world-famous steakhouses, like Keen Steakhouse, Smith & Wolensky, and Lavo. If you've ever had an unforgettable steak in New York City, it was a Strasburger steak.
Listen, the Strasburgers have been in the meat business since the 1850s. They know meat. Once you've tried one of their amazing steaks, there's no going back.
It makes a great gift for any celebration. Your birthday, Jen, is coming up.
Mm-hmm. It's always
holidays,
coming up.
Corporate giveaways. Give the gift of an unforgettable steak from the people who have been doing it the longest. Or just keep everything for yourself. Visit StrasburgerSteaks.com and click on the Steak Lover button to bring the steakhouse to your house.
Mm-hmm.
So I would recommend that you listen to this interview and please help us welcome the great
Peter Getchell.
So we're really glad you're here, Peter. You came all the way. I traveled thousands and thousands of miles. Oh, wait, you came from New York City.
Short little plane ride.
We're big on an educational platform. We use your company, and the reason that
Full disclosure.
The reason that we've done that is because you have a software platform that's harmonious with the way our customers want to learn. And learning online right now is the thing. And they're LMS learning, or they're module learning, or they're every kind of thing you can possibly imagine is now online. The classroom has faded in terms of its importance, and the smartphone has now taken over, or the tablet has now taken over, or in some cases even people the old world of the laptop has now taken over. But it's online. The classroom mm-hmm. is now portable. And you got a lot of companies that are online and doing it. What is the first of all? Where did you come from? How did you get here? You're like,
where did I come from?
Yeah, where did you come from?
No, so I came from the financial services industry, mm-hmm. On the learning side as well, but from KnowledgeLink standpoint, when I started KnowledgeLink back in 2005,
wow.
We were all about creating digital learning experiences for financial services companies. So back then, you know, streaming video was, you know, hard to do with the type of bandwidth you had back then. But we started back, you know, when the internet really wasn't available, and helped mm-hmm. people deliver streaming video to their field force, which was a very complicated thing to do when they weren't streaming a lot of bandwidth through there. So we started out in digital video way back when it was hard to do, in servicing two financial services firms in the learning and development departments to give them a platform that was simple to use and powered by a lot of technology on the back end to be secure and robust for delivering training. So I came from the learning side, and, you know, through my years at KnowledgeLink have done everything from customer service, account management, into interfacing with clients on strategies to be more productive with their learning and development.
And obviously, it's a growing thing. You know, more and more of my courseware will be 100% online in another year. We keep adding to it because I've got thousands of hours of video that I shot over the years, and we're putting it up onto our Learning Academy because more people are demanding more stuff. Do they want short courses or long courses?
The trend now is a lot of short courses, like micro courses, they're calling them now, mm-hmm. or micro learning. So consumable content that they can, you know, they can pull off the LMS and watch while they're sitting in a waiting room for an appointment. Obviously, attention spans are very short nowadays and forever, basically. So yeah, the short consumable, 3 to 5 minute, maybe 3 to 7 minute bursts that they can take in a sitting has been, you know, the norm for now.
Okay, so you've been with KnowledgeLink for over a decade.
Yes,
and
wow.
It's amazing because most people these days stay with a company 2-3 years, move on 2-3 years. Okay, what has kept you there?
You know, the innovation and the way things evolve, it's never a dull moment at a software company, especially, you know, in learning and development. So I think the fact that our clients evolve and the technology evolves on a regular basis, it just keeps it exciting. And in trying to innovate new ways to deliver training content and find new ways to help engage with users of the platform just keeps it, you know, it keeps it fresh.
That's cool.
Yeah,
I can tell you, we started our learning thing and the studio in 1999 when it was 56K.
Yeah.
So we're trying to stream a video, and they were only about that big. You know, they're like 2-inch by 2-inch. So we would innovate. We put my video in the head of a watch or in a TV screen and somebody's – I mean, we did everything we could to show a small video and make it fit. Inside the design of the learning.
Yeah.
So if a salesperson is trying to choose a training program to go for, what are the things they should be looking for?
If they're trying to choose a program?
Yeah, why would somebody choose you?
Oh, so, I mean, they would choose us. And our whole philosophy around training, and because we've been in financial services and, you know, the corporate education side, the technology always came second. And, you know, they were always complicated to use, and they were always, you know, they didn't provide a very good user experience. I would say we get chosen quite a bit because the ease and simplicity to use the platform. One, from the end user side, it's easy to find the content, consume the, you know, the learning that they want to find. But even on the administrative side, it's really easy to upload content and create your own courses. So we make it easy for the front end users and then the back end administrators, which no one seems to care about it when it comes to developing the technology.
A lot of people buy LMS, but very few people understand how to actually implement it.
It seems like the technology should almost be silent. Like it should just be there, but the focus would be on easeability and usability and getting access to the content.
Exactly. And you want to provide a good user experience for the people that are there. Because granted, corporate learners, they don't necessarily want to take it all the time.
Really?
Yeah, really. Surprise.
That's a shock.
But when you make it easy and a good user experience for them, they're more engaged to go back in there and watch more.
They're already reluctant to take it. If the user experience isn't smooth, they're going to be pissed off. Their attitude is not going to be receptive to the learning process.
And that's kind of a different approach in the way we've kind of modeled KnowledgeLink over the years is, you know, early on, the users tend to want what's out there on the, you know, on the web. So they want the consumer-facing technology in their LMS, which was never a thing before. Now, all the things we do within KnowledgeLink are the things they would expect out there on the web. But what's YouTube doing? What's Vimeo doing? The way to deliver video in a more unique way is all the kind of thought process that goes into new features and functionality within KnowledgeLink, because corporate learners, they get the corporate learning experience, but they want the consumer learning experience when they're out there on the web. Mm-hmm. So we kind of put that technology into our platform. So the end users get what in their learning environment, they get the same experience as they do when they're on YouTube or something on their personal time. So
what does the future of training look like?
It's a good question. it's ever evolving. Lots of things around, you know, AI is coming popular now. A lot of things on gamification or game-based strategies with leaderboards and so forth are obviously still the thing that a lot of people are talking about. But, you know, the micro courses and consuming small chunks of data and learning, you know, is where a lot of the content creation is coming from now.
And I would say, and just for us, because we have our Sell or Die podcasts, and we're very concerned about where it's placed. iTunes obviously is the home of homes, but can Amazon be far behind? Once they see that there's a dollar to be made, or there's, you know, somebody's going to start to take over, and then we use Overcast also, which is a platform that houses our thing. It's a smaller audience, but it's a very active audience.
We're the number one business show on Overcast, just FYI, at this moment. So if you could go on Overcast and rate us, give us a star review.
You have to download the app on your phone. It's on your iPhone, or it even works on an Android. And but it probably won't work on a BlackBerry.
I don't know.
They still make those.
I don't know.
Yeah, they make them. Yeah, they're like nine of them.
I saw someone with one once.
Really? Oh, yeah?
Yeah, in the past like 2 years.
Was it nailed nailed to a tree? So I feel as though there's an opportunity to create the software even better now because there's so many places where you can put your content. Mm-hmm. Whether it's on your own LMS or you take you film stuff in your own studio or your own place and then begin to put it someplace else, it gives you more notoriety. Video is taking over. Mm-hmm. If you look at the evolution of YouTube and you look at the evolution of all the other platforms that host videos, it's irrefutable. I mean, you can't, you know, they have a kids YouTube channel.
I know.
Come on. Are your kids on it?
Yeah.
So are mine. So it's only a matter of time. Think about this. We have 8, 9, 10-year-old daughters. Mm-hmm. They're on YouTube right now like crazy. What's going to happen when they're 22? And the answer is they're not going to want any – I don't want this in audio, Dad. I want this in video. Where's the video? That's why we're videoing this podcast because eventually podcast goes to video. Mm-hmm.
So how do people feel about streaming video like on their phones? Do they care about the data that's getting used? Do they not care because they just want to watch the video? What are some thoughts around that?
You know, I don't get too many concerns about data because there's Wi-Fi everywhere nowadays. So obviously – you know, playback and it'll be more reliable on a Wi-Fi network, which it's hard not to be on a Wi-Fi network anymore.
True.
Data
plans. I don't know. I reach my data limit every month.
But if you go to Starbucks in New York City, you can go from Starbucks to Starbucks and never lose your connection.
Yeah, that's true.
New York City hotspots are now popping up everywhere now. But yeah, I mean, it's not too much of a concern per se as far as being able to jump on a Wi-Fi network to do it. But, you know, people are able to stream from anywhere nowadays, whether they're on their data plan, whether they're on a Wi-Fi network. But, yeah, I mean, anywhere to consume content. It might go over your data plan 1 month. If you have a big, you know, if you're traveling somewhere,
the plan.
Traveling somewhere without Wi-Fi.
That's an option.
You want to consume that learning content on the road, then, you know.
But listen, we're in the primitive stages of this crap. You may think it's all sophisticated, but 10 years from now, our children are going to be laughing at what the hell we're – come here, you got to see this. My dad's still using a keyboard.
Well, how has it changed in the past 10 years?
How has what changed? Wi-Fi or
– training.
Oh, how has training changed? Well, I think it's becoming more of a necessity. Before, you know, over the years, it's – you know, if corporate educators got – you know, 10-20% learning adoption, they were pretty much happy with it. Mm-hmm. They were a check a box and you know, they kept their job. But I think it's becoming more and more of a need to get higher adoption and training. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of where we help out in those strategies as far as, you know, adoption strategies within our platform to help save, you know, the learning department's jobs and give them tools and resources to be more.
We had one customer, a large, they had 200 salespeople. And the leader said, we are taking this. Here's the course. It is not optional.
Yeah, sign up.
And everyone took it.
Yeah.
It's like a miracle. So it's leadership driven.
It was amazing.
Leadership driven is a big key.
Yeah. And what do you think about the leaders taking it versus the leaders sitting back and saying, okay, you guys take it?
No, anytime you get buy-in from the leadership level and they're in the trenches, they're taking it, they're able to, you know, basically – you know, share experiences with the field who's actually going to take it as well. It's hard to say, you know, I don't want to take it if my leader's not taking it or my manager's not taking it. But like when you get buy-in from the top level, it trickles down quite a bit to the field.
I think that you've hit a key where the easier it is to use, the more likely it is that someone will use it. Mm-hmm. If it's a pain in the ass, I'm not going to take it.
Yeah, if it's a pain in the ass, you're not going to take it. You're not going to be burdened with downloading something. You're not going to be burdened with, it doesn't work on my device.
It takes too long, right.
It takes too long. So that's why we make it as simple as possible. Works on every device. Different bandwidth requirements, it'll work.
Keep in mind, it's a miracle. Like, you're downloading something. Where the hell
where
are you downloading?
Where is it coming from? The cloud? What's the cloud?
It's coming from the cloud, which is like a Quonset hut in New Jersey, I think.
I think the cloud's always there.
Right.
It is.
But it is something that you have to have patience for. And as a society in general, we have no patience.
Mm-hmm. We don't. You know, you want it right now, the moment. You want it to work seamlessly. Mm-hmm. And that's what people expect.
So, but you have the best.
Thank you.
We've looked everywhere and you have the best. And it's not going to, and it's evident by number one, length of time in business. Mm-hmm. Number two, quality of customer that you have that's been with you for a decade. And I think that plays an important role. That was an important role in our decision. Mm-hmm. And third, you're actually easy to get along with. Well, I hate to tell you right to your face, but.
One of the things I was astonished by, literally astonished, was Jeffrey has so much content. And so, you know, I said, okay, how quickly can we get it up and running on your platform? And you're like, oh, we'll have it up in 90 days. 90 days? How do you do it that quickly? Because there's a lot that goes into this to move users over, get the content up. You know, how do you do that?
Well, I wish I could take credit for it all, but you know, the people back
on,
in the office,
no one's listening.
Make it happen. Need to make the magic happen. That's a big thing we're big on, is, you know, the migration process, because it's a burden to get, you know, your content, as much content you have is one thing, but to take it from one place to another, we try to make that migration process as smooth as possible and as seamless as possible for, you know, for everybody.
Do you think it's part of the New York mentality of it has to be done right now?
Yeah, I mean, 90 days.
Because you guys
nice,
are in New York.
We're in New York, yeah. So we usually, when we get a call for something, it's like, I need it by next week, or I need it by
yesterday.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, a lot goes into the migration process as far as, you know, the implementation of how your course content's going to come in, or anyone's course content's going to come in and fit into a new LMS. And our platform's very flexible, and you know, our team is able to import a lot of stuff in hierarchy level where it works, you know, it just works.
Plus your platform is seasoned.
It just works.
Yeah, it's a seasoned platform.
I want every software program I use
to just work.
Yeah.
I agree.
And that's, you know, that's what it's supposed to do, you know?
Yeah.
It's software. So yeah, a lot goes into the thought process and how we're going to migrate stuff. In 90 days was, you know, that was a decent amount of time. So enough to get the content, have all the content encoded, migrated into the system, and then in set up for the end users to come in and get it after 90 days. So
cool.
Yeah, we take pride in the 90 days to launch is a big thing for us. And yeah, it's a differentiator for us.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Most companies can't claim that.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Anything you want to tell a potential customer out there that's thinking about?
Where do they find you, Pierre?
Yeah, they find
me. Well, they find us at getknowledgelink.com.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, digital learning platform for everything from Fortune 500 companies, 1,000 companies, down to, you know,
peons like us.
Top level experts, thought leaders, associations. I mean, it's a flexible, robust platform at not a huge cost point. So it fits a lot of needs, and the flexibility of it makes it a viable option for any learning initiative.
Cool. Getknowledgelink.com.
Yeah, getknowledgelink.com. We are proponents of online learning, and I wanted to make sure that we invited Peter as a guest because he, number one, he gets it. Number two, they have done it for us, and that's sort of the living proof for us. Otherwise, we couldn't ballyhoo it in this way. And third of all, you, our listeners, need it. And when you have the best and the need, you have a deal.
Nice.
Thanks for being here, Peter.
Thank you.
Thank you
so
much for having me.
Rocks.
He certainly does. I found myself so intrigued with that whole interview that I wanted to keep it going. We have a time length on the show, but there's so much value in online learning. There's so much value in understanding what power is going to be coming to your mobile device that it's exciting and it's frightening.
Listen, dieharders. Out our new name.
Oh, yeah.
See
oh,
that?
Yeah. We
See
have
that?
A new thing.
Dieharders. Okay. Dieharders.
Yeah.
This isn't just
is it die
about-
harders or is it diehards?
Oh.
I think it might be diehards.
Yeah. Diehards. Okay.
We'll put it up on a little thing on the wall, Jen.
Yeah, we're still workshopping it. Don't worry. We'll figure it out.
We're wordsmithing.
Right, diehards. Yeah. Diehards. Diehards.
Yeah.
I got
Sell
it.
Sell or diehards.
Diehards. Yeah. Okay.
The wristband is coming out soon.
Yeah, then I can just look down things.
Exactly.
So, diehards. This is not just about online learning. This is about changing in a changing environment. This is about
you know, they've been in business for what, over 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And 20 years ago, this kind of learning didn't exist. And they found a need in the marketplace. They found what people wanted.
They wrote the software for it.
And they created it.
And Fortune 500 companies have jumped on their bandwagon.
Right. And if they hadn't changed with the changing market and stayed one step ahead of the curve, they may not be here today.
I think
they
they're
may
actually,
be with like PC Richards.
A half a mile ahead of the curve. And I'm really happy that we're somehow affiliated with them, however minorly. But the future of our customers, you as a sales learner, your future is on your smartphone. Maybe your iPad.
Jeffrey, mine now is on my smartphone.
Right now, you know, you still may be on a laptop or a desktop, but it's changing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's changing rapidly. I think that the numbers...
Apple called it when they created the iPad Pro, because the iPad Pro is basically the same size as your computer.
Yeah.
But it's a cool machine.
And Microsoft has their Surface,
yep,
which is just like an iPad.
Yep.
So I'll take
not.
An iPad. But it has the little pencil. So you can't knock it. You know, they got the pencil. Gabrielle wants a pencil so bad.
I know,
she'll
does.
Do anything for
It'll
a pencil.
Take her a really long time to get that with her allowance.
Yeah, I agree.
Years.
Yeah. By the time she's 41, she's now 8. But understand that what we were talking about is your future. If you're in sales, this is the way you're going to emerge as a better person. Because right now, you can get a training platform on your mobile device. And when you walk into a sales call, if you go to the GittimerLearningAcademy.com, just as an example, you can walk into a sales call and someone says, well, you have to wait for a few minutes for the customer. And you go, okay, and you're sitting in the lobby and now you're actually anxious to wait because you can get some kind of thing on asking a question or giving a great presentation or how to engage people emotionally, and you can get a 5-minute lesson before you walk into that sales call.
And then you walk in and you're all pumped up
because totally
you just heard
up.
Jeffrey talking.
Can I play Doug's advocate?
Yeah, Doug's advocate. Let's go for it, Doug.
We're bastardizing all kinds of words here today.
All right. I'm Doug. I've been in sales for 30 years, and I've, you know.
Which is funny because you're only 32.
Right. No, yeah, but this is another Doug.
Oh, I see.
I've been in sales for 30 years. I've been doing this a long time. I don't need any stinking training.
And I know everything.
Right. You, sir, are screwed because there's going to be 90 little kids coming up the ladder. I mean, look at what's happening right now with the group that they erroneously call the millennials. They are so tech savvy that they won't listen to anybody who is not tech savvy.
Mm-hmm.
That's number one. And number two, they do every single thing online. And I can tell you from my own personal experience having a couple of 20-year-old grandchildren and an 8-year-old daughter. That's what they live by. That phone is going to be implanted in their arm when they're born in another
thing. They don't even want a phone. I mean, I was younger and I was asking my sister, I said to her, I'm going to call mom. I don't know how to make this, like some recipe, you know, something in the kitchen.
Yeah.
She goes, why are you going to call mom? Just Google it.
Right. Everyone Googles everything.
She knows how to make it. Like,
I think the thing to understand here is, I don't care if you've been in sales for 30 years, Doug, you still need to know what's new. And you still need to be able to talk to your customer in a way that they want to be talked to. And you still need to be technologically advanced, because when you walk into that sales call, the minute you walk over that threshold, the customer is saying, just a second, while they're Googling you to see who the hell you are.
Or maybe they Googled you before they even let you in that door.
That could be. But the bottom line is you're exposed,
mm-hmm,
for who you are or who you are not. And if you start to make a, well, I don't need that, you immediately date yourself and you're out.
So, you know, I had researched a ton of different platforms before choosing to partner with KnowledgeLink, because I partner with them too for my 7 for 7 videos and other courses that I have coming out.
Mm-hmm.
And I found the industry to be amazing in the fact that most of these companies out there have no idea what their customers care about. For example, I want a platform that's easy to use,
right,
for my
easy
customers.
Easy access and easy sign on.
I want a platform that's easy for me to set up,
mm-hmm,
for my
Can
team.
Can I upload it myself?
Right. I
can I customize it?
I want a platform that's mobile responsive. Should that be a thing even in today? Shouldn't that be like a minimum standard? It needs to work on mobile phones.
You would think.
It's crazy.
But LinkedIn is not responsive. Well, so.
Yeah. But that's a whole other story.
Right.
You know, I want something where something simple like this, Jeffrey. I'm in the middle of a video, a training video, and I have to go to the bathroom. I want to press pause so that when I come back, I don't have to start from the beginning of that video, even if I'm just 1 minute in.
Yep.
Some companies don't even have that. What's that about?
So what we're looking, what you have to look at as a salesperson is how's the technology. And how does that technology fit into what you need to make more sales, period?
But also, why don't you survey your customers to find out what they want?
Well, that's part of the given. If it fits into how I need to make a sale, I'm assuming, and I may be wrong in this assumption, that you've already talked to customers to find out what it is that they find most important or what they need more than anything. So anyway, I think we have... at least talked enough to people to get them interested in checking out what they need to do to get online. Yes, the Gittimer Learning Academy is helpful. There are other things online that will be helpful. I'm not going to tell you what they are, but I think that...
it's a secret?
Yeah, well, you can Google stuff. Google what you need to know, and it'll be there for you, and it'll be there online.
But, okay, so even if... like the cool thing about Knowledge Link, and I'm not trying to promote them.
Yes,
I'm
you
just
ex- are.
No, I'm just excited
I'm
about them because
them.
They actually are amazing.
I freaking love them.
And the cool thing about them is that even if you're a small... you know, if you're a sales manager for a small team and you want to create videos so that you're not constantly mm-hmm. saying the same exact mm-hmm. thing over and over again, mm-hmm. and you want to create more efficiency in your training, you can do that easily.
Not only that, and this is, I think, really, really important, you need to have answers instantly. You can't go back to your boss and say, what do you think about it? You need an instant answer because your customer wants an instant answer because everything in this world is now instant. And if you have a searchable learning academy that can give you an answer about making a cold call, making a follow-up, writing an email, making a presentation, asking a question, you have to have that at your fingertips or you're going to lose to someone who does.
Mm.
That's the reality of it. Companies are equipping themselves right now in ways that I can't even understand. But I can tell you this, it's working for them. And it's working in a way where they understand what the marketplace is and they understand what they need to win in their marketplace. Oh my gosh, we're out of time.
No.
Yeah, we have to go.
It's not time to go.
Oh, Jen, stop begging.
All right, we got to go sell something.
All right, now listen, if you're a seller diehard, is that what it is?
Yeah.
If you're a seller diehard, I want you to go to Overcast and download the software on your Apple phone, your iPhone, and rate us, please, and listen to us through that. And
yeah, all you have to do is click on the episode, then give us a star.
Bingo.
We need those stars.
Or you can go to iTunes if you have an Android or something.
Or Stitcher or whatever.
Right. But subscribe.
We want your help, guys. Diehards, we want to... be number one on every podcast app out there.
And so we had a great show today. We have a lot of upcoming shows, so I would recommend subscriptions. Then you get an automatic notification when a new show comes out. I am personally, my name is Jeffrey Gittimer. And
Jeffrey, where do people find you? Like,
they
should they go to Instagram Facebook or LinkedIn?
No. You go to Gittimer.com.
Oh.
Go to the Gittimer Learning Academy and subscribe. And how about you, Jenny? Where do they find you?
You can go to salesinanewyorkminute.com.
And you should all get some
I've been drinking my
Death Wish coffee. Yeah. Get some Death Wish coffee. Check
it
out Aller
in the
Morning.
It is made from the world's most perfectly roasted beans. It is amazing. We get it every single week right to our doorstep.
And did I mention our time is up? I forget. My name is Jeffrey Gittimer and...
I'm Jen Gluckow.
And I'm advising you to get out there and sell something even if your ass falls off.